Welcome to another episode in the podcast called Labor Matters, where I address trending employment issues and queries, particularly in the context of Barbados laws. I'm Michelle Russell, attorney at law, and I have a passion for employment law and labor-related matters. I'm also a columnist in the Sunday Sun, where I write a weekly article addressing employment law and employment rights. So don't forget to get your copy of the Sunday Sun if you're interested in learning more of your labor rights. Now, today I wanted to lend my voice in support of the current ongoing industrial action by the nurses and their union. Now, this has engaged public debate for a bit over a week now, and I'm very, very disappointed in the level of criticism that this government has leveled against the nurses and their union. Now, when we consider the level of chastisement that is being leveled against the nurses, you have to compare it to what has happened in relation to employers. So for the last couple of months, maybe 4, 5, 6 months, employers have been implementing vaccine and testing mandates that they have no legal or contractual right to do. And many of these testing and vaccine mandates are premature and they're absent of legislative backing. Yet, I have not heard the level of criticism against these employers that the government of Barbados is currently leveling against the nurses. And what's interesting is that the nurses are exercising their legal right to strike. So they are well within the law in what they're doing, but they're the ones being vilified. But when employers are acting outside of the law, there is silence or not enough being said or done against them. But yet this government has found it fit to now dock the pay of striking nurses, and they're hiding behind the Public Service Act, which says that when public servants are striking, it is apparently mandatory to dock the pay. But we have to question, why was not the pay docked before? Last year when polyclinic nurses were striking because of lack of pay and lack of supplies, was their pay docked? In 2017, when the current government was in opposition and they joined with the unions and had a nationwide strike, which was attended by thousands of public servants, including myself, and I'm not a public servant, but they got widespread support. Did this government then say those public sector workers should have had their pay docked because it's mandatory in the legislation? In 2019, when we had certain government staff striking because of the poor ventilation in the buildings, were their salaries docked? It is curious at the timing of the docking of these salaries. And I wanted to bring some balance to the debate because I feel like the government is only looking at one side because, for instance, they have complained that they are condemning the strike because Senator Franklin has not adhered to good industrial practices. But the lack of good industrial practices started with them. This is the same government that rolled out the Safe Zone Directive without any consultation with BAMP, BMA, the unions, or any of the stakeholders. And in the end, it was what? Withdrawn to be amended. How is it good industrial practice to have nurses working for months without being paid? How is it good industrial practice to have nurses who have to pull their pockets from their meager means to buy supplies for nurses? So if you're going to say A, you have to say B. So today in the podcast, I'm going to address the criticisms the government has leveled against the strike action and bring balance to the debate by showing the other side of the coin. So stay tuned.
You can contact your Nation Publishing subscription team 7 days a week in 7 different ways. Call customer service any day at 430-5550. Call subscriptions at 430-5503 or 04. Email subscribers at nationnews.com. Email epapersupport at nationnews.com. Visit www.nationnews.com and select print subscriptions. Visit www.nationnews.com and select epaper subscriptions. Visit our office on Fontebelle St. Michael. If your call is not answered, please leave a message. We are here to serve you. Nation News, your news, your time, your way.
Now, the first criticism I want to look at is the government's chastising of Senator Franklin and his union for not using good industrial practices. But I gave some examples before. We have to remember this started because the government rolled out a safe zones directive without following good industrial practices, because it would have had consultations with unions. It would have had consultations with BAMP, with BNA, and none of that happened. But rather, we had the rollout in November, and then there was public outcry, particularly from the medical community. And as a result, government agreed to go back to the drawing board. Now, the second bad industrial practice occurred from the medical institutions within the health sector. Because remember, this strike action by the nurses is triggered or was triggered by the fact that the geriatric hospital and a few of the institutions prematurely rolled out the testing mandate. So we have been waiting on government to come back with the amended safe zone directives, which should have come out on the 1st of December, but it has not yet come. What some of these institutions did is that in the absence of the amended directives, they went ahead and implemented a testing mandate, even though the amended safe zone directive has not been gazetted, which means it's not yet effectual in law. Even Minister Bostic has agreed that the institutions were premature in imposing this testing mandate. So that the trigger for the strike action that started was because these institutions did not adhere to good industrial practices. So how then is criticism being leveled at this level only against the nurses and their unions, but not against the government? Why is government not taking blame? Why is it not taking blame for its own institutions that prematurely rolled out these testing mandates? So how can you on the one hand say the strike action is wrong and not warranted because it doesn't follow good industrial practice, but on the other hand, you are not adhering to good industrial practice? As I said earlier, it is not good industrial practice to have workers work unpaid for several months. It is not good industrial practice to have workers with inadequate supplies that they have to dig into their pockets and buy supplies in the same way that teachers complained earlier this year. It is not good industrial practice to be talking at the union in the media rather than meeting with them. But we're going to come to that a little further down. So that it is unfair and I dare say hypocritical for the government to say the strike action is unwarranted and should be stopped because of failure to adhere to good industrial practices when in my mind, both sides are guilty of the same thing. The second thing I want to mention is that the government has criticized the timing of the strike. And I have to ask, when is it a good time to strike? No matter who strikes, it will cripple an organization. It will have negative effects, some of which are financial, on the organization. And that's the point of strikes. The point is to bring the employer or force the employer to the bargaining table or to reconsider its position. So to suggest that there is a better time is to not tell the full story. More so, the role of nurses is so critical in the health sector that there will honestly never be a good time for them to strike. So why not now? And if the government was so concerned about how the length of the strike, why not come to the table and have talks with the union? It is not fair to suggest that the only person who has the power to stop the strike is Senator Franklin, which he does. But if the government were so interested in bringing these things to a halt, why not set up a meeting? Why not come to the table and speak to the nurses and their union rather than at them in the media? It is not fair. And again, it is bad industrial practice. And I want to say this, lest people say that I'm allied with Unita Workers Union. There is no such alliance. I respect Senator Franklin because he's often very vocal about political and labor issues that no one else is willing to speak on. So I have the greatest respect for him, but I don't always agree with his stances. But in this instance, I 100% agree with him because he's the only union that has done something more than lip service in respect of these mandates. And mind you, the strike is now not just about the mandate. It has moved into the issue of, what's the word, inconsistent payment of the workers and inadequate supplies. So the question is, how long should workers go without being paid or without being paid regularly before they strike? How can you say that the timing is wrong? Tell me when it's okay to strike of 6 months not being paid. When is it okay? And that is why the comments are unfair and present only an inadequate picture of what is actually taking place. The other criticism I have for this is that the unions have joined together with the employer in condemning the strike. Now, I was extremely disappointed. For months, I have felt that the unions can and could have done more. For months, I have felt that it's the workers who have the power to contest these mandates, but they need the backing of their unions. And sadly, all I have seen is the occasional statement in the paper from the unions rather than doing more. And it's not sufficient to say, well, none of our members are affected, because in 2017, when there was the nationwide strike led by the unions, lots of us, myself included, participated and were not members of the union, simply because we saw how important the cause was. And in my mind, the best way to get increased union confidence is to show that you will fight on behalf of workers even when they are not necessarily part of your union. That as a body, you will champion a cause. And you'd be surprised how people would then rush to join the unions. But this is also representative of the fact that many workers have been moving away from unions. In 2020, we had lots of strikes that were not led by the union, where workers were no longer waiting on the union because they felt the union was doing inadequate. So it is quite telling that when the only union, only one, finally takes action rather than just does lip service, rather than just having meetings that are getting nowhere, but nurses not being paid for months, and you question whether or not the union members themselves, or the union leaders, sorry, themselves, know what it is to go 6 and 8 months without pay. Why is it enough to only have meetings or write letters when people still have no pay for 6 and 8 months? Why not do more? And when one union finally does, they join in condemning him on the ground that it's bad in industrial relations practice. Now, I don't really know. Senator Franklin has defended his stance and claims he did follow procedure. What I am saying is that even if he didn't, there's bad industrial practice on both sides. It's not fair to single out only one side. So it's very disappointing that the unions did not band together with Senator Franklin and perhaps try to influence the length of the strike if they feel so strongly that the timing is wrong or that the length of the strike is too long. I believe their efforts would have been better served on the side of the workers, which is where they belong. The next thing I want to address is the government has now relied on the Public Service Act to say that the provision within the act makes it mandatory that any public servant who is striking, their pay must be docked. It is mandatory. And my question is, why wasn't this enforced before? We had strikes last year. We had strikes in 2018. We had strikes led by the Prime Minister, who was the then leader of opposition. Why was this section not enforced before, since it's mandatory? Why was a discretion exercise, and the only time it appears that they're enforcing the mandatory nature of the section is now? It is curious that when the union, which is led by the government's main political opponent, when that union is the one to strike, is when all of a sudden this section within the legislation is mandatory and must be enforced. It is curious that when the then Mia Amor Motley-led opposition went on strike with the unions in 2017, that they didn't also insist that the section within the act was mandatory and should be followed. It is curious that the section in the Public Service Act is now being conveniently enforced to act as a deterrent to future workers who may be tempted to take similar action against these unjustified vaccine and testing mandates. It is curious at the timing, so that any future public servant that might want to contest a testing mandate or contest a vaccine mandate will remember that the pay of the nurses was docked. So in my mind, the enforcement of the mandatory provision seems very convenient, heavy-handed, and punitive. and geared at this whole vaccine and testing issue. The next thing I want to look at is the government's criticism at the strike on the ground that the nurses are crippling the vaccination drive and causing a human resource shortage. Now, I agree. That does seem to be the case. But the irony of the whole thing is that pursuant to the intended safe zones directive, if the nurses or other medical staff are unvaccinated, and they don't agree to be tested at intervals, then based on these very directives, they are barred from working. So you as the government have created legislation that will prevent untested and unvaccinated workers from working, which the effect of which will be, if they don't agree to be tested, you're going to have a nursing shortage. So if in passing legislation that will ban unvaccinated and untested medical staff from going to work in the safe zones, the government is not worried about the human resource shortage that that legislation will cause. How is it that when the nurses themselves decide to stay off the job and it creates a human resource shortage, suddenly the nurses are irresponsible and vilified in the shortage of medical services? Who will be to blame when the new safe zone directives comes out and prevents nurses from working and they don't work? Who will be blamed for the HR shortage? So HR shortage is okay when it's as a result of a government testing mandate, but it's not okay when it's as a result of nurses striking well within their legal rights to enforce their right to receive pay, their right not to be tested outside of legislation, and their right to have adequate supplies. I'm confused. Why is one okay and the other one isn't? And finally, I want to look at the claim by our Prime Minister that Senator Franklin's motivation for the strike is political and not about the nurses. Now, I cannot speak to someone else's motives or intentions, and I dare say I will not try to do so. But even if his motivation is political, it still helps the cause of the nurses, because finally we are focusing on them. Don't you think it's terrible that they're only just getting hazard pay? Hazard pay was talked about from last year. In December last year, if I recall correctly, it was December last year or January this year, the QEH staff was finally getting their hazard pay. And yet a year or more later, the polyclinic nurses are only just getting hazard pay. And we wonder why they're fed up, and we wonder why they're striking, and we are calling it political when these people are fed up. When all the evidence worldwide shows that the medical community was hit the hardest by the pandemic in working hours, in demands, in exposure, in dangers, and we are saying it is political? And if it is not political, why hasn't the Prime Minister simply met with Senator Franklin? Why hasn't she met with the nurses? Why was it so important to be in the media for days on end talking at the nurses, criticizing the nurses, making the nurses seem like villains, making the union seem like villains? Why was it important for the Prime Minister in her statement on the 17th of December to call by name every person who criticized her condemnation of the strike if it's not political, if they are not also making it political? And as I said before, why is it that the only time the pay of public servants seems to have been docked in recent years is when it is led by the union that is led by the government's main and most vocal political opponent? Ask yourself these questions, because I'm all about balance. When you say A, you must say B. And I don't think either side is without blame. I agree that the strike seems to be too long. I agree that at this point, the parties really need to come to the table and they need to talk to the nurses, not at them. They need to focus on the nurses, not politicizing the event or vilifying anybody. They need to come together, and that's the solution. If it's so important to the medical community, if it's so important for the human resources shortage, if it is so important for the vaccination drive, why not meet with the nurses? So it is not fair. And it is for these reasons that I stand by the nurses wholeheartedly. and any employee of the government or privately that endures non-payment of wages for months, that goes to the heart of the employment contract, which is I'll provide my services in exchange for pay. So you cannot vilify the nurses who for months have continued to care for patients despite the government's breach of the contract, despite the government's failure to make sure that these nurses can pay their bills, feed their families, and look after themselves. How do you then vilify the heroes in our pandemic simply because you don't believe they should have taken strike action? This can be resolved by a meeting of the parties, and I encourage all involved parties to lay aside pride, to lay aside political agendas, and to focus on the important parties in this, who are the employees, and have a meeting. Find a compromise that will work in the interests of the nurses and that will forward the vaccination drive and resolve the human resource shortage. I am Michelle Russell. Thanks for joining me in another episode of Labor Matters. And do remember to adhere to good industrial practices.